morning, and a very warm welcome to our morning worship service here in St. Machen's. Special welcome is extended to any friends or visitors with us this morning. We hope everyone will feel at home and welcome in our church family, and that you find our worship to be both meaningful and uplifting. I am, as always, delighted to welcome Arthur Stewart and his wife Margaret back to St. Machen's. Welcome. And we look forward to hearing what Arthur has to say to us this morning. It's also a pleasure to have the band with us, and they will lead us in our musical worship this morning. Tea and coffee will be served in the hall after the service, and everyone is invited to go through and share in a short time of fellowship there. Just a couple of wee intimations. The Guild, a wee reminder for the Guild Committee. There's a committee meeting on Tuesday coming, the 25th. At 7:15 for 7:30 in the Guild Room. And next Sunday, that's the 1st of March, we will be celebrating Holy Communion. Is that me?
I think it's me.
We will be celebrating Holy Communion. Elders' duty rotas are now available in the boxes in the Guild Room. And if you have a duty and are unable to fulfil it, please ensure you arrange your replacement. The Lark Hall service for the World Day of Prayer will be held this year in Trinity Church on Friday the 6th of March at 2 o'clock. The service has been prepared by Christian Women of Zimbabwe. And on Sunday, 2 weeks today, on Sunday the 8th of March, we have an admission of elders during our service. And I'll read out the proper notification wording from Presbytery for such occasions. So the Kirk Session of St. Machen's Parish Church has resolved to admit to the Office of Eldership within our congregation and parish John and Isabel Martin and Ivan Harvey, and have arranged for their admission to take place during Sunday morning worship on the 8th of March 2020. If anyone has any objection regarding their life, character or faith, notification must be made to the Kirk Session before it meets at 10:45 a.m. on the morning of Sunday, the 8th of March, 2020. So following on from that, a church family lunch to welcome John, Isabel and Ivan into the session and into our church family will follow the morning worship service. And a very warm invitation is extended to everyone in the congregation to share in this lunch. And if you're able to come and have any special dietary requirements or food allergies, I'd be grateful if you could let me know by next Sunday. And these are all the intimations. Thanks.
Lorraine asked me to read out this birthday card this morning, and it's for Linda Turnbull. It says birthday wishes. Happy birthday to Linda Turnbull, who celebrates her birthday on Tuesday the 25th of February. With love and best wishes from your church family. Nan, take it away.
Is the coast clear now? Thank you. Good morning. And welcome to church. It's been a while since I've seen you. So Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year as well. In the first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul writes, "Live lives worthy of the God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." And so with that great instruction, let's raise our voices in praise of our holy God, singing Mission Praise 1222, "Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord."
Thank you.
boys and girls, it's good to see you here today. Today. What is this day? What's today? Well, somebody, anybody, what's today?
Sunday.
My man. Sunday. Sunday, that's right. Sunday. How many days are there in the week? Yeah.
Seven.
I'm not going to agree with that. I'm going to disagree with that. Hands up those of you, however, who agree with this wise young man that there are 7 days in the week. Okay, that's kind of everyone, really. I think I'm on. How about the band here? Do you reckon there's 7 days in the week?
No.
No, you're not so sure. Oh, maybe eight. Okay, well, the band's not sure. That's freaking me out on so many different levels. Anyway, you reckon there's 7 days in the week? Okay, so if today's Sunday, what's tomorrow?
Monday.
And what are you guys doing on Monday? Nailock. School. School on Monday. Hands up those bigger boys and girls that are going to the graft on Monday. Double nailock. At least you get paid for it. We'll hope you get paid for it. So that's one. That's number one. Monday's number one. We'll call it number one because it's the working day starting. What's the second day of the week?
Tuesday.
Anybody get any plans for Tuesday? School again. This is doubly bad luck. Anybody get nicer plans for Tuesday? See that again? Okay, that sounds interesting. So there's plans for Tuesday. What's the third day of the week then? This is getting increasingly complicated, isn't it? Yeah. That was incredible how you threw your voice. It was almost as if it was over there. That was amazing. Wednesday. That's right, I see you, wee man. Wednesday. Anybody get any good plans that doesn't involve school for Wednesday? Yeah. Going on holiday. I just absolutely hate you. Because I wish I was going on holiday. Right, okay, so there's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're now on day three. The fourth day. What's the fourth day of the week? Yeah. Thursday, again, with a voice. Brilliant, wee man. Thursday. Anybody get nice plans for Thursday? And he's just going to rub it right into me, be saying, still on holiday. Anybody get nice plans for Thursday? School. Well, whatever floats your boat. If that's a nice plan for you, go for it, pal. Yeah.
Judo.
What was that?
Judo.
Judo, you can say what you want, mate. I'm just going to step right back here. I am officially fair to you now. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4. My plan that there's more than 7 is starting to look a wee bit dodgy. 4, 5, Friday. Now I'm going to say Friday the way that most grown-ups say it. Friday. Okay, Friday. Say that again, Paul. Absolutely sounds good to me. So there's 5 days. So I'm still thinking that 7's wrong, but I'm running out of room here. What's the 6th day?
Saturday.
And I'm going to say it the way adults say it. Saturday! Saturday night. Sunday morning. Saturday. Any of the big ones got any nice plans for Saturday? Yeah, no, still on holiday. No, none of the big ones. You're just going to sit in the house and watch the telly. Saturday.
Swimming.
That sounds good. Swimming sounds good. So now, I'm really backed into a corner here. This is number 7. What is the 7th day of the week? The 7th day of the week. You got it, my man. Well done. Sunday. No one's throwing their voices, I think. Sunday, well done. And what do we do on a Sunday? Look around ourselves. That's incredible. You're yawning and yet I still hear your voice from over here. Sorry I'm boring you, mate. Don't worry. I've bored generations of Scottish school children. You come to church. So how many days do there appear to be?
7.
No, there isn't. Because there's another one. And the other day, isn't it? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, just to prove I was listening. The other day is some day. Some day. And people in the world go, some day I will tidy my bedroom. Some day I will eat those minging Brussels sprouts. Some day I'll no be cheeky to my mammy. Someday, I'll lose weight. Never mind. But you find people in the church go, someday, I'll volunteer to do work in the church. Someday, I'll make sure I come to church as often as I can. Someday, I'll read my Bible on a Sunday afternoon. Someday, I'll say my prayers more regularly. Someday, someday, someday. And do you know what happens to someday? Someday never, ever comes. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. So, what I would say to you boys and girls is, enjoy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, especially Saturday and Sunday. But don't ever stick someday into your week, especially now when you're thinking about Jesus and what you should be doing for him. And what we're going to do for him right now is we're going to sing. We're going to sing to him, and we're going to sing Mission Praise 809, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. Come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Loving Father, we ask that you would meet with us here this morning as we gather to bring you all worship, glory, and praise. Lord, you have called us into your kingdom to serve you at this specific place, at this specific time, for a very specific purpose. Help us to live our lives in such ways that we bring your grace and compassion to all those we meet, so that they too may experience the richness of your love as we have. Through us, Father, show others how you can use an ordinary life to bring extraordinary blessings into the world. Lord, it's not always easy being your servant in a world such as ours, but still we thank you for your challenge to follow you, not by staying as we are, but by stepping out in faith, bravely trusting in your goodness. We thank you for your challenge to depend upon you alone, even when the load is so very heavy and we struggle to succeed. We thank you too, Lord, that with your challenge comes blessing. Hope is reborn, broken lives made whole. And yet, loving Father, all thoughts and praise expressed in eloquent prose, the words spoken with conviction, none of them can compete with a heartfelt, forgive me when we have let you down, as we so often do. For Lord, even though we love you and are grateful to you for all that you have given us, there are still times when we are very aware of our faults, acutely conscious of our sins and the distance they create between us. Father, sometimes the words, forgive me, are in our hearts, but we can't bear to say them aloud, for we are too ashamed of our sin and know that we have disappointed you. Sometimes the words, forgive me, are in our hearts, but we don't want to say them, for we are enjoying our sin and don't want to let it go. Thank you, Lord, that despite our sometimes being reluctant to seek your pardon, you are a God who always sees and understands what we hide within us. Thank you that through your Holy Spirit, you reach into us and bring us to repentance, so that even the most stumbling, fear-filled appeal to you can bring us the forgiveness and renewal we so earnestly seek. And so, Lord, hear us as we thank you that you are a God who at all times wants to forgive his sons and daughters, and a God who, having forgiven, surrounds us in an embrace of love, drawing us ever closer to your heart. Thank you, therefore, loving Father, that you listen to our hearts as much as to our voices. And thank you, Father God, that you alone are the one who leads us from darkness into light, from captivity into freedom, from anxiety into peace, from despair into joy. Lord our God, we have come this Sabbath morn to be close to you during this time of worship. And so through our prayers, our songs, and your word, teach us your will for our lives. And through your Holy Spirit, give us the strength we need to enable us to follow you and to gratefully serve you here on earth until we meet you face to face when we come home at last to be with you forever. These things we ask as we close in the very words your own dear Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let's listen to God's word.
Good morning. The readings this morning will be taken from the New International Version of the Bible. The first reading is from Exodus chapter 20, reading from verse 8 to 11. Let us hear the word of God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Second reading is from Mark chapter 2, reading from verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath.'" Amen, and may God bless us, these readings of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and praise.
Mission praise 1227, The Splendour of the King. Matthew 12, we meet Jesus on a Sabbath day, and we read, "He went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there, looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus. They, the Pharisees, asked him, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' He said to them, 'If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out. How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One summer, you remember summer? That was when the sun was out, you remember that? One summer, a couple in their 90s, Angus and Morag, from the island of Lewis, went to Glasgow on holiday. Their family had really struggled to persuade them to leave the croft, but eventually they had relented and made the long trip to the big city. And despite their initial misgivings, they actually enjoyed themselves until Sunday came around. Now, as old folks for Lewis, they were very strict about how the Sabbath should be observed. So instead of going sightseeing that day, they resolved to attend the nearest church and then go straight back to the hotel for a day of rest and quiet reflection. So off they went, and sure enough, they found a church, and they sat through the service. And coming out, they spoke of how it had been all a bit modern for their liking, but that the preacher had spoken well, and the congregation had been very, very friendly. But as they walked back to their hotel, suddenly down the road came a taxi, and behind it, running like the clappers, was their neighbour Phil Lewis, Big Murdo, who was also on holiday in Glasgow at that time. And they were stunned by his behaviour, for there was Murdo, running as fast as he could behind the taxi, shouting and roaring and flailing his arms wildly. Well, said Angus, I never imagined Big Murdo would break the Sabbath with such a display. And him an elder, too. Look at him running after that taxi. Oh, wait a minute, Morag replied. Didn't you hear the minister talking about that bit in the Bible about judging other people favourably? I bet we can think of loads of excuses for Murdo's behaviour. Aye, woman, like what? Well, maybe he's sick and needs to go to the hospital. Oh, come on, Morag. He's running 60 miles an hour after that cab. He's healthier than that Mo Farah fella. Well, maybe his wife Mary's having a baby. Och, Morag, she had another one last month. Well, maybe he's away getting nappies for the bairn. Och, woman, he's just run past the Tesco. Well, maybe he just forgot it was a Sunday. No, Morag, of course he knows it's a Sunday. Did you not see his tie? It was his paisley pattern, beige, 100% silk tie from Italy. He only ever wears it on a Sunday. My, Angus, you're very observant. I didn't even notice his tie. Och, Morag, how could you not have noticed it? Did you not see how it was caught in the back bumper of that taxi? Number one, apologies to MD Phil Lewis for that terrible accent. Number two, I hope for Big Murdy's sake, that's not a true story. But Sunday, here we are on a Sunday morning, exactly where we should be, in church, worshipping our God. And afterwards, we'll go home and have lunch and then what? So the question remains, will we rest and relax? Will we see family and friends? Will we lie in a darkened room because we were preaching this morning? I certainly will do. But I don't know about the rest of you. Whatever the case, we'll do something. But what will we do? And most importantly, what does God want us to do? Let's think. Earlier on, we listened to the fourth commandment where God tells us to remember the Sabbath day, keeping it holy, that we're to work for no more than 6 days a week, and to enjoy the seventh day as a day of rest, on which we shall do no work, just like him when he made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh. And the Sabbath is mentioned in the Ten Commandments because God wants to show very, very clearly that it is extremely important to him, and that his people should be in no doubt at all that in one day of the week, in Christian tradition, a Sunday, they are commanded to rest from their labours. But nowadays, people out there maybe, hearing that commandment for the very first time might say, look away, in 2020 that'll not work, because ours is a very busy world, which is all about go, go, go. We've no time to rest. Everything needs to be done 5 minutes ago. And as evidence, they'd point to the way that modern workers are expected to work on till late on in the evening to make sure that the wheels of industry and commerce keep rolling on 24/7. Well, those not in paid employment might point to the busyness of volunteering, of doing housework, of being carers, and everything else that consumes someone's time and prevents them from putting their feet up for a wee while and slowing down. So with that in mind, the question is, so, is that commandment just a relic of the past? Why would God command us to take a Sabbath break when all of us nowadays are nose to the grindstone all the time doing stuff? Well, in case you're too busy to take a wee rest and have a think about that, let me provide 3 answers for this commandment, with number 1 being that God commands his people to rest on the Sabbath to slow us down. For even when the 10 commandments were handed down, God was looking upon a world consumed by busyness. People today imagine that back then people moved at a much slower pace and had less to occupy their time. Absolute, unadulterated nonsense. For each day, the majority of people back then had to do hard, back-breaking work just to make sure they were able to eat and drink and stay alive. For back then, there were no Tesco's and Asda's and Lidl and Aldi and all that kind of stuff for people just to pop into to get their food. They had to work hard and for many, many hours a day to keep body and soul together with the threat of starvation, genuine, real starvation, not just I'm a wee bit peckish between meals, real starvation and want never far behind them. And so God gave them the commandment to rest in order to slow them down. And he gives the same commandment to us for the very same reason. For today, in 2020, with job uncertainty never very far away, with technology allowing you to take your work home with you and sit at the computer most of the evening before going back to work again the next day after just a handful of hours sleep and starting all over again, with people volunteering long hours in charity shops and food banks to plug the holes in social provision that government cuts have caused, people absolutely nowadays need to have a Sabbath rest to slow them down, as proved by the abundant medical evidence that shows that running through your life as if your hair's on fire will inevitably result in serious health problems. And God has always known that, never mind before doctors worked that out. God knew that, for he didn't create us to be machines that can go on without rest as long as we get a little food and water every now and then. God knows that whether thousands of years ago or in this very day, most people will work their mind and their body to the bone, trying to beat their to-do list, trying to squeeze in all the things they fondly imagine that they need to do, thinking all the time that if they don't, the world will instantly stop spinning. And even as a retired person, and nobody shouted out, you're too young to be retired, never mind. Every time I say that, and you let me down every time, but never mind. Even as a retired person, I relate to that. For before I stopped working, other retired people used to warn me, oh, no, Arthur, retirement will be very busy. And that they never had any time for themselves. And I thought, no chance. That'll no be me relaxing all day, TV remote in one hand, glass up, iron brew in the other. Wanted down under on the box. Brilliant. No, that's not how it's turned out to be. For now retired, I look at my to-do list, thoughtfully updated at very regular intervals by my good lady wife, and I can't believe how busy I am and what I thought would be my restful retirement. Now, God knows that most of us keep very busy all the time, and he knows how unhealthy that is. And that's why he commands us to take a day each week to stop, sit down, and genuinely rest and recharge our batteries before we go on again, refreshed and hopefully ready to take things a bit slower than before. That was the first reason. The second reason for this commandment. Well, God knows that we can't barrel on at top speed all the time, because if we do, we will miss things that are very important for our life. It's like being in a train. Picture yourself sitting at the window in a train, racing through a station. You're not stopping at that station. You're racing through the station. And you're trying to read the station name to see where you are. And you can't read it. You're going too fast. And the view out the window is all blurred because the train is going too fast. If it slowed down, though, you'd be able to take in everything. Oh, I'm on the wrong train. You'd be able to take in everything that is right in front of you. Well, it's the same with our lives. If we go at top speed all through our days, we'll miss all sorts of important things, like time with our family and our friends, like eating properly and at the reasonable times, like looking after ourselves. And more than that, we'll miss out on the important things that God is trying to say to us. So there you are, a busy Christian, doing this and that and the next thing in your life, busy, 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 and all the time, though, God might be trying to use the Bible or a word for the pulpit or a song heard in church to give you a much-needed message about what he wants you to do with your life. But like that train belting through the station at 100 miles an hour, your life is moving so fast from one thing to another that you can't see the message, and everything's out of focus as you batter on unheeding and quite often in entirely the wrong direction. So no, if we want to understand and act upon what God says to us when he wants to talk to us, we have to stop and sit and listen and think. And to enable that kind of thinking, that kind of deep thinking, God gave us a Sabbath day of rest. That was number two. The final reason for this commandment. Well, God also gave us the Sabbath because when we spend all of our energies going forward as fast as we can, we don't just unintentionally miss things. We start to deliberately cut corners. For we make a list of what we imagine we must do, and then we cut the corners by dropping from that list things we have convinced ourselves we can do without to ensure that we meet our other goals and targets. And I used to see this when I was a teacher. Staff rooms empty at lunchtime because the teachers were all in their classrooms working away, promising that they'd eat their lunch later on. Or teachers struggling in with chest infections to teach the higher class, saying they'd see the doctor later because this was more important. Staff taking their marking with them on holiday. I hope you're listening to this, Faye, when you go that holiday of yours. Staff taking their marking with them on holiday because they reckoned they had no time to just sit down and relax. Colleagues on sick leave who still checked their work email in case they were missing something important. And it's not just teachers that do that. It's just about every employment you can imagine nowadays. And retired folk, let's not kid on here, retired folk can be like that too. No keeping up with their pals because they've something else that they think's really important that they must do. No going for checkups. I'm going to say that again. No going to the doctor for checkups because they think they're too busy to get that appointment. Going out early. I remember when I was working, I used to meet this guy at about 7:30 in the morning. He was retired. He'd been retired for 10 years, but he'd go out early every day in all weathers, all weathers, wear shirt and tie on to get the paper, when he could have stayed in the house, waited till the snow stopped, and then gone and bought it himself. Retired people are like that too. And that's bad, because that doesn't give rest the place in your life that it should have, as ordained by God. But it's much worse when Christians get themselves so busy in the world out there that they cut corners with prayer and Bible reading and church attendance by putting them at the bottom of their to-do list, because they've convinced themselves that working on their faith isn't as important as the other apparently really important secular things that they've crammed into their lives. And you see this in churches across the land, where people spend so much time during the week running about doing work for the kirk, carrying two or three or more jobs in the church at the same time, that they don't look after themselves, and they wonder why they feel run down all of the time and never have any time to sit still and spend quality time with God himself through prayer and Bible reading and reflection. And why do they do that? Because everyone has forgotten the old saying, no one should have two jobs in the church until everyone's got one. And folk like that are in every church in the land. And I bet you somewhere in this church today, somebody's going, that's me he's talking about. That's me that guy's talking about. You recognise yourself in that. But if that is you, if you are sitting there, then you need to remember that God gave us a Sabbath to compel us to put aside time each week to dedicate to talking to him in prayer, to listening to him and to reading about him and to worship him. Of course you can do that any other time of the week, but the Sabbath day is especially meant for worship of one kind or another. And when we don't obey that commandment, let's call it what it is, when we don't obey that commandment to slow down and we allow ourselves to miss out in quality time with him, then we are in a bit of a mess. But I know you're sitting there going, but a day of rest is no practical in the world that I live in. See, when you tell people to slow down, they grumble. Oh, I'm not slowing down. Somebody might even be sitting there looking at your watch going, Gonnie, hurry up, I've got things to do. You know who you are, and I know who you are too. See you at the door. Well, if that's what you think, if that's what somebody's thinking, sitting right there, remember this. God knows all about the world that you live in. As I said earlier, when he handed down the Ten Commandments back then, he already knew how busy 2020 would be. So he didn't limit any of his commandments to the days when travel was by means of camels and donkeys and fast food was eating a sandwich while running away for the Romans. Oh, come on. No, God knew that human beings would always have it in them to get far too focused on all the different things they thought they had to do at the expense of working in their faith, and so would very much need the scheduled break of a Sabbath to stand still, back away for their problems and tasks and enthusiasms and even their church work, to try to consider things from a better perspective. And I know, again, I'm a mind reader. Every kid in a class I ever taught thought I was a mind reader. But I know that someone is out there who's working for a living and you're still sitting there saying, aye, okay, but my contract means that sometimes I have to work on a Sunday. I get that. And again, it might be too difficult to go up to your boss and say, as a Christian, I'm not working on a Sunday. Because we don't like the words P45. We really don't like those words. I get all of that because I accept that there are things that need to go on all the time. There are things that need people to work on a Sunday. I mean, what if you went the casualty on a Sunday only to be told, oh, sorry, mate, no, it's the Sabbath. We'll not be able to fix your broken leg to tomorrow. Here's a couple of aspirins. Good luck with that. I don't fancy the gas workers and the electric services just cutting off on a Sunday. I wouldn't mind the speed cops chucking it on a Sunday, but that's another story. But none of that would actually make any sense, for it would just be like the Pharisees, who made Sabbath keeping far more important than it was ever intended to be. They didn't even, and this is not an exaggeration, Pharisees wouldn't even swat a fly that landed in their face on the Sabbath. And even today, many ultra-Orthodox Jews hire non-Jewish people to come into their houses and to cook for them, and even to flick the light switch on when the dark comes on a Sabbath evening. But that way of living, no offence to them, but that way of living is based on an interpretation of Scripture, which our readings today show that Jesus never, ever approved of. For as he said, the Sabbath was made for human beings. Human beings were not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was God's gift to us. We weren't God's gift to the Sabbath. And as Jesus is always our ultimate authority about what is right and wrong, when he said that the Sabbath was there to ensure that human beings have the right kind of balance, both physically and spiritually, that's what we are to understand and obey. When God ordained that our body must get a regular rest day, and that during that time our minds should concentrate on his word and be refreshed and energised by fellowship with our Maker, that's what is to happen. And so, if there is no way out of working on a Sunday, if you just can't get away from going to your job on a Sunday, be clear, God understands, but he doesn't expect you to just ignore the principle of the Sabbath and batter on the other 6 days of the week at the same whirlwind pace. Instead, he expects you to take one of your days off and relax in it in the same way as though it was a Sunday. The church might not be open for business, but God is very much open for business. And so prayer and reading can still be used at least one day a week to slow you down and refresh you and get you ready for the rest of the week. That, put it simply, that's what God wants of his people. That's what God wants of you. So the Sabbath day, Sunday, or if needs be, any day during the week which you use to observe the Sabbath day of rest. Remember to follow the fourth commandment. Remember that the world will not come to an end if you take a rest from striving all the time, for you don't run the world. And if you were taken to glory this very day, God forbid, the sun would still rise tomorrow on a world still spinning in space. And if you're an office bearer in the church, take your hands out your ears and listen. The kirk will not collapse if you acknowledge that God does not expect you alone to bear the burden of keeping the church alive for everyone else. Whether a minister or the oldest or newest member of the church, God does not expect one person to carry loads of jobs in the church while there are others sitting back who could share the weight. Now, if you are an overburdened office bearer, remember, if you won 50 million on the lottery this week, well, if you do, my phone number is 01324. But if you won 50 million on the lottery this week and went to live in sunny Castlemilk, or maybe Barbados, slightly better, this church would still stand. The doors would still open. And God would still be worshipped here. So slow down. Take the load off. And enjoy God. Instead of working so hard for him that you ever have time to draw breath and actually talk to him. And in closing, let no one be in any doubt about this. The fourth commandment is not a suggestion. It's exactly what it says on the tin. It's a command from God Almighty himself. And so we must each week take a step back from our headlong rush from cradle to grave and accept God's own prescription for a better, more human, more Christian life. So the final question remains, can you do that? Can you do that? Well, maybe you should take some time off to think about the answer. Amen. Let's pray. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise for this, our Sabbath day. We are very grateful that you are so concerned for our health and well-being, that you established this day of rest for us to enjoy. Help us always to obey your commandment about the Sabbath. Help us to slow down and rest in you. Help us to pray and worship and reflect on your greatness. And help us to enjoy the peace which this will bring to our souls and our bodies as we take time to be refreshed by your Holy Spirit. These things we ask for thy name's sake. Amen. Let's rise to sing Beautiful Lord, Wonderful Saviour.
Thank you.
continue to worship God in the giving of our offerings.
In Genesis, Jacob says to Esau, "Please take my gift which has been brought to you, because God has dealt generously with me, and because I have plenty." Let us pray. Generous and loving God, we thank you for your daily provision. Indeed, more than enough for our needs. In grateful love, we bring before you our offerings. Bless all of them, Lord, for it is our desire to share your generosity with others. We pray that those in need receive their fair daily portion. We know that our sleeping country will soon emerge from winter's grip. Lord God, we thank you that round the corner, we have the hope of spring, a season that brings signs of awakening and new life. Lord, we pray that the world will awaken and find new life through our Lord and Saviour, and that those whom we love and don't know Jesus will reach out and catch the light of salvation beaming forth from Christ, and that they will be changed and grow in your hope and joy, health and love in this world and eternity. We pray for our Queen. May your guiding Holy Spirit be ever present with her and her family as they go through changes and difficulties that are experienced so publicly. We pray for our government and its external and internal changes. May they bear your fruit and enhance the lives of the many and needy, not the rich and the few. Lord, make them put people before profit. Lord God, we pray for our world where overwhelming crises of war, conflict and climate now seem commonplace. In Syria, in the Middle East, in Asia and Africa, Lord, we can only ask, bring peace. In Australia and our own country, heal the land. And we pray that every government will recognise their responsibility to climate change. Lord God, we pray for a swift and effective treatment for the coronavirus, healing for China, and comfort to the bereaved in Germany. We pray for your church and forgive us, Father, when we take for granted our freedom to worship you. Be with our brothers and sisters who do not have that ability. Sometimes they have to choose between life and death to follow Jesus. Lord, keep their faith, hope, and love alive. And how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Lord, give courage to those who take your word to the lost souls of this world and to all agencies throughout the world who work amongst the vulnerable, healing, feeding, caring, and loving. Lord God, give guidance, knowledge, and strength and compassion to all in our land who serve and care for us. Lord God, we thank you for answered prayers. In this holy place, we bring before you those who need your healing of body, mind, spirit, mending of broken hearts, comfort, and love. In our silence, Lord, hear their names, Father. Thank you, Father. Bless Alistair, Lorraine and their family, and thank you, Holy Father, for sending Arthur to us. Protect all those who preach the word of God from the evil one, and may the Holy Spirit be ever their companion. Bless all our organisations, Father. Thank you for the men and women of God who show Christ to the young, who so need your guidance. We pray for the churches in Lark Hall, not for division, but for unity, in patience, gentleness, and love. Together with Christ, we will succeed. For it is your will, Father, and desire for to build up people's faith in our community. May your will be done, and help us, your family of faith, to do your will in the week ahead. Holy God, all these prayers we ask in Jesus' name. And in his name, rejoice always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Amen.
We close our service this morning by rising to sing My Jesus, My Saviour.
Thank you.
to faithfully enjoy the goodness of God. Take your rest in him. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.